I'm Clay Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. From the smoky skies of the Pacific Northwest, we say hello. Trying to breathe, trying not to cough. I was doing a presentation of Channel Zero, which is a Facebook TV show that we're working on right now. Well, twice throughout the whole program, I was coughing. Trying not to sneeze, but I was coughing. And I don't know if I can get through a show without coughing. It's horrible. I mean, people are having these dull headaches now. People walking around with a dull headache. And one of the administrators here at the flagship station where we broadcast came in and said that he was feeling pain in his lungs. And I said, yeah, me too. I feel it as well. It's like this, somebody's got a belt around, you know, your whole chest area, and it's not a heart attack or anything, but my gosh, it's like, I don't know how long we're going to last in this air we're breathing right now. You know, when they say that it looks like the apocalypse outside, it's not an understatement. It really does. I mean, now waking up to orange skies every day, it seems like clockwork every day. And they tell us, well, rain's coming, rain's on the way, rain, hopefully rain's on the way. Be nice if we get some rain. But, you know, here's the thing. I've been talking about geoengineering for a couple days, and I've been thinking to myself, you know, with that emergency money that our local government's getting, they should invest in what is called sunshine seeding. They used to do it in Belgrade back when they were having that war. That war they were having back in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. They had the same problem. They had smoke and fog that was covering the airport, and they couldn't see to get in. So they hired a company called Sunshine, and they did it in Utah as well. When I lived there, they had a long running inversion. So I hired a company called Sunshine to come in, and they dropped little tiny ice pellets that froze up the water that the smoke could cling to, and it caused all the smoke to fall down and dissipate. Now, there was a little bit of a mild little ice dusting that was on the ground. But, they, of course, they wouldn't think to do something and use geoengineering for the right reasons, a little mild geoengineering for the right reasons. They'll do it all for the wrong reasons because it's to prove their little point about climate change. They want to have us, you know, suffer through it for a couple days before we get a rainstorm. But the truth of the matter is that this is saving up, I'm sure, for a major rainstorm, thunderstorm. It's going to bring mudslides and other problems to the Pacific Northwest and also California. So, yeah, it feels like the apocalypse. It's like inhaling the wind and the dust. And we're not radioactive yet, but we're certainly – we don't want that. But, I mean, what else could happen in 2020? You know, going through what I'm going through now, and I'm sure some of you understand this. You know, when I was a kid – I don't know if I was a kid. I was kind of a teenager, sort of a sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grader around that time. I had a Christian friend who turned me onto this book. It was called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And the book had been out, I don't know, 10 years or so when I was first introduced to it. And by the time I saw the book or was aware of the book, it was made into a movie. Okay, it was made into a movie. I think it was like 78, you know, so I had to have been at least 13 or 14 years old. And so they made it into this motion picture. And believe it or not, and I've told this story before, but when we were kids, when I was a kid growing up in a place called Kearns, Utah, that's where I grew up, we had a huge theater there called the Plaza Theater. And it was the only theater in Utah that had a drive-in size screen inside an auditorium. It was the size of a drive-in screen. It was one of the first major local theaters to show Star Wars because it was a huge theater that had it was the center theater that had a bigger screen than that. There was the Vista or the Villa. They had a bigger screen. And then this Plaza Theater in little podunk Kearns, Utah, is where they had this other screen. And so our PTA developed a relationship with the Plaza Theater. They had these PTA-approved movies that they were showing at the Plaza Theater the kids can go see. So our PTA actually endorsed the idea that kids, you know, impressionable teenagers like myself, would go see The Late Great Planet Earth, the Hal Lindsey movie. And it was part of the package of film tickets. And we would purchase as kids these tickets. We'd go to the local theater, and we'd watch movies. And one Saturday matinee, we'd be watching Planet of the Apes. You know, you go ape. They used to do that where you'd go into the theater at 10 o'clock and watch all the Planet of the Apes, and they'd feed you lunch and all that. The PTA got behind that. Next, it would be Chariots of the Gods. Remember that movie? And then the late, great Planet Earth. And I recall, if I remember, Orson Welles was the guy who narrated it. So it already had that special quality of doom because his voice commanded attention and convinced the world that the world was ending. And, of course, he was the guy that did the alien invasion thing, right? And so, you know, of course, he's the guy, the voice of doom. He was going to be Darth Vader, too. I don't know if you knew that. They were going to have him play the part of Darth Vader. And they opted for James Earl Jones. But now you know why I talk about what I do. I mean, it's part of the upbringing. I mean, I was practically enveloped in these apocalyptic films since I was a youngster. So The Late Great Planet Earth was one of those special genres of books and films. It was a film that would use major news events to prove that we're witnessing apocalyptic prophecy, that it was being fulfilled, right? And so at the time, I didn't realize it was trying to be theological, okay? I didn't, literally. In fact, I thought the film was like a horror documentary that would be right up there with The Omen or Rosemary's Baby. And a lot of people don't realize that many of those films were produced in the 70s, these devil films like The Antichrist Being Born of Rosemary or The Omen. The Omen especially was written by Christian biblical scholars that wanted to warn people of the end of the world, that this Antichrist was coming and all this stuff. So when opportunity knocked and I was offered a radio show, what else would I talk about, right? I mean, I was certainly thinking that I could be the next Orson Welles or the next Bill Cooper or even Hal Lindsey, where I could take all of the hellfire of the end of the world Bible prophecy and catapult it beyond just the ranks of the true believers and make it a broader cultural phenomenon. I thought that's what you need to do, right? You live in weird times. Start talking about the weird times and see if anybody is going to listen to you. Now it's pop culture, right? Well, I was thinking at the time, the people who never paid much attention to prophecy at all could hear how the headlines are certainly indicating that we are in those times my Sunday school teacher warned me about. And after doing some research, I realized that Hal Lindsey wasn't the only guy who started this type of reporting. There was a theologian by the name of Karl Barth. His name was B-A-R-T-H, but it was pronounced Bart. Karl Barth, who said that a good preacher needs a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other hand. Now, it's doubtful that Bart had Hal Lindsey in mind when he talked about this, but that's exactly what Hal Lindsey did. And there were plenty of others, too, like Jack Vanipi. I was talking about Jack Vanipi the other night, how I'd love to watch him and Drexella talk about the end of the world, use the headlines. It was interesting. And then it was Father Malachi Martin on Art Bell. Remember him? Go on Art Bell, and he'd do the same thing, but he was a little bit darker because he was Catholic. So you talk about more darker things because he's Catholic. It was kind of like listening to The Exorcist every night. So believe it or not, speculating about the eschaton, the end of the world, plays right into conspiracy theory because all theories about the end of the world and the second coming are considered by some to be sinful. It's anathema to be speculating about the end of the world. It's kind of bibliomancy, if you will. It's divination. And the Bible itself says that, you know, it makes it a point to say you shouldn't be participating in doomsday divination, because it says in Matthew, in the Bible, it says, but about the day or hour, no one knows with regard to the return of Jesus, not even the angels in heaven, nor the son, but only the Father. So it says, but about that day or hour, the second coming, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But the biblical book of Luke, you go there, it also says that when the apostles asked Jesus when he would return, he said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. I hate to break it to Christians, but Jesus was certainly talking about astrology when he made that point. Basically pointing out stars and planet alignments and eclipses of the sun, the Menses moon and strange activity in the stars. All of that would rock the earth to and fro, causing kingdoms to fall and storms to rage across the seas. And he then said that there will be a time when men's hearts fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Not to mention, if you make it at least, if you go to the end of the Bible, the book of the Apocalypse, John had some choice things to say about what will happen in the last days. Everybody knows the book of Revelation, right? Revelation 13, Revelation 9. Yeah, I was being shoved right down my throat every day You know, Clyde, you got to read this. Clyde, you got to read this. Clyde, you got to read this. And when 1,000 years have expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Shall go out and deceive the nations. They'll remain. I have that all memorized. Okay, I know that by heart. Now, if you permit me, tonight I'm going to pull a Hal Lindsey. I think this is down and dirty Hal Lindsey, because looking out my window right now, I feel very apocalyptic. Okay. I feel apocalyptic. I feel that I have to be that guy. I have to be that Hal Lindsey. I have to be that Jack Vanipi. He's probably rolling his grave right now knowing what I'm doing here. I'm not going to be Paul Begley, because he's a classic unto himself. But I'm going to be the guy tonight. I got some things I want to share with you that are really going to blow your mind. They blew my mind. They blew the staff's mind. So we decided to go with it tonight. So stay tuned. We've got more Ground Zero to come. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.